There was a monk in training under Dogen called Soshin. He was a very sincere young monk. He had become very distressed, and he felt it to be beyond his endurance since the time that he had come to the monastery for the master. He wanted to be in training. The master Dogu had not given him even once any instructive sermons or talks or any appropriate guidance. One day, Soshin, who could not stand it any longer, went to the master Dogu and asked, "Ever since I came to this monastery, ever since I came to you, you have not given me your gracious teaching, even once. What could be the reason for this?" The master gave the least expected reply, for he said, "Why, ever since you came to my monastery, I have not, even for one moment, neglected to teach you. What kind of teaching have you given to me, master?" "Well, well, if you bring me a cup of tea, don't I receive it? If you serve me a meal, don't I eat it? If you greet me with your hands pressed together, don't I return your bow, your greeting? How have I ever neglected to give you guidance?" Soshin, listening to this, hung his head deep down and for a while could not utter a word. Suddenly, the master's roaring cry,
"Hi!"
Suddenly, the master's roaring cry, as if abusing him, fell on Soshi's whole being. Dogu said, "When you see it direct. If a thought moves, it is gone." At this, Soshin uttered an unintentional cry, "Oh!" and prostrated himself before the master in tears. Whether in joy or sorrow, he himself did not know. There was a monk in training under Dogu called Soshin. He was a sincere young monk. He didn't know much, but he was sincere. He had become very distressed and felt it to go beyond his endurance, because since the time he had come to the monastery for training, his master Dogu had not given him even once any instruction, any sermons, or any guidance. So, being young, you are even more restless, no? The mind wants something quick. So he's waiting. Always restless. Waiting for instructions. Don't the master see me? Can't he say something? So it means that he's still, like everybody is, just looking outside for something to come. He hasn't gone deep in meditation. He hasn't found peace in himself. So he's waiting for instructions. One day, Soshin, who could not stand it any longer, went to his teacher and asked, "Ever since I came to this monastery, you have not given me your gracious teaching even once. What could be the reason for this?" Now, this is how we are. The master wants to stop you, no? He wants you to go in. He wants you to get a taste of realization yourself. But you have to have patience. You cannot be a beggar. The master is there, but is the disciple there? That's the question. Dogu is there, but is he there? Is he receptive? Or is he so restless, so full of mind, that he cannot really see where he is, who he is with, who is in front of him? That is the issue. He doesn't have the eyes yet to see, to feel, to get in harmony with the energy field of the master. He wants something. What could be the reason for this, master? The master gave the least expected reply, for he said, "Why? Ever since you came to my monastery, I have not, even for one moment, neglected to teach you." So, the disciple is coming from here, and the master is coming from there, and there is no meeting. The disciple is complaining, settled complaining, expecting something from the master. But how can you give if you are not receptive? If you're not open, if you are too full of yourself? Even to be with the Buddha or Dogo or Jesus, it doesn't help if you are not receptive. It's the work of the disciple to unburden herself, himself, so he can feel the master. Becoming tuned, to slow down. Otherwise you can wait forever. Why? I have never neglected to teach you. What kind of teaching have you been giving me, master? Well, if you bring me a cup of tea, don't I receive the cup? If you serve me the meals, don't I eat them? If you greet me with your hands pressed, don't I return your bow? How have I ever neglected to give you guidance? This is how Zen is very difficult to understand, because it's not in the teaching, it's not in the words of the master. The master is the teaching. But the disciple is waiting for instructions. Instruction, words on the mental level. Even if the master is there. Can't you see how gracious I receive the food? Can't you see how I do namaste to you? Can't you feel the love that I'm showering you? Can't you see that I accept you? That you are welcome? What more teaching? Relax. Go deeper. Be receptive. Soshin, listening to this, hung his head deep, and for a while he could not utter a word. No, he felt like a failure. So the ego took it. Oh my God. What can I do now? I'm such a failure. I must be the worst of all the disciples of the Master. Nothing. God, I'm so dense. The Master doesn't recognize me. Me, who is doing everything every day, my God. Suddenly, the Master's roaring cry, as if abusing him, fell on his whole being. The Master said, when you see, see it direct. If a thought moves, it is gone. Again, the Master showed him, no, I told you in words, I receive you, I love you, I accept you, you are here with me. Just become more meditative. Then he didn't understand because his thinking, he didn't see it direct. Again, he didn't fall in tune with the Master. He was just taking the words, what the Master said. He didn't feel the Master's being, which is always in the moment. So he missed. Then, that's why the Master had to scream. What happened when I screamed? You got into the moment. You didn't know what happened. So you laugh, you cry, you're like, oh my God. It was no mind. This is how the Master can do. You got it. You are here. Otherwise, people can read sense stories for eternity. Nothing happens. No, I showed you what happens. It wakes you up. In that split moment, in that second, you are totally present, in shock. No mind. You're just alert. You're not there as a mind. You're not there as a disciple, as an ego, as somebody who's carrying the past, of somebody who wants something. You are there for the first time. You are totally present with the Master. When the Master said this, Soshin uttered an unintentional cry. Oh! What happened? No, is it coming from a totally different space? He's surprised. Oh! And then, without knowing what he was doing, he prostrated himself. Full face on the belly, touching the Master's feet. In that instant, he got it. My God! He prostrated himself before the teacher in tears, whether of joy or sorrow. He himself did not know. And this is how it is, because tears and laughter is very close to each other. You must have seen many times in satsang, you are laughing and you are crying both. Because they come from the same place. You don't have control, you're just open. So these tears, this laughter, is very cleansing. because you disappear in it, you become present. Hmm? Welcome to satsang. Otherwise, everybody, they are just expecting things. They want something from the outside. So many things, dreaming about something they're going to get. So, even if you have found a master, it's very easy to miss the opportunity. So again and again and again, you have to come back. Life is short. Don't miss the opportunity. Dear Babaji, can you talk about suicide, the process or consequences? It's not like I'm about to do it, but it's on the table since I found my good friend hanging. It looks so peaceful. It is peaceful, and you know why it's peaceful? Because he's gone. That's why it's peaceful. That's why that person looks so peaceful, because he's gone, there's no more mind. Where do you find that peace in an alive being? Hmm? Only in a little child or in an enlightened person. Everything in between is restless, is anxiety. But what the Master's teaching is that you can find that peace when you are alive. How does that sound? To have that peace when you are alive. It's been 21 years of unbearable pain and I'm running out of steam. If life is an experience, perhaps I experience more than many. And thanks to you for the glimpses I have had here. But if life in the ego world is not worth living and I can't proceed as I'm stuck in pain, what wrong with the quiet exit? With love, Rochan. Most of the suicide, they are depressed. Life is not worth living. And why is it not worth living? Because you don't live. That's it. If you really live, life is so beautiful. And that is so beautiful. Because they are together. So, and also for some strange reason, people who do suicide, they want to escape. This life is not good. They are not happy. They are sad. They are depressed. They are worried. They are in pain. Whatever it is. So you cannot take it. You want to escape. But that's not how it works. Because life is a gift from existence. It means you didn't enjoy your gift, your opportunity to go deeper, to become blissful. So, you cannot find that bliss if you haven't found it in yourself. That is the issue. Everybody is looking outside. They never find it, whatever they are looking into, be that money, sex, power, image, fame, whatever they are looking, you will be disappointed. You won't find that you are missing. So, knowing only those things of the world, the material things, the desires of the ego, not having the courage to live, take risk, to grow, you become stagnant. Life is not worth living. Then people want to escape. They don't know that you cannot escape from yourself. They cannot escape from themselves. So as soon as they go, it doesn't take long, they are back. In another womb, another life, another birth, which most probably will be more confusing because they missed. It's like when people don't make the exam, you know, then you have to go. I have people here also. They didn't make the study, so you have to start again and again, and then sooner or later. So you didn't get do the opportunity, no? So it's like that. But existence has this mechanism that you don't remember. You don't remember your past lives. You don't remember. If you had remembered your past life, you would be like, my God, I'm so fed up. I'm doing the same thing that I've been doing so many lives. Exactly the same. No, existence cannot do that. It will be very confusing. So you have to come to that realization yourself. So I cannot say only suicide, because people are so different, everybody. So every suicide is different, no? But the majority of people, they do it like that. They cannot. Life is not worth living. Why is it not worth living? Because you haven't taken responsibility over living. That is what a sannyas is, a seeker is. To have the courage to go beyond the known, to explore, to really live. And the more you live, the more beautiful life is. The more you find your own love, your own light, your own compassion, the more beautiful life will be. So, it's just that you haven't found that. Then you have people. For example, you say, it's not like I'm about to do it, but it's on the table, since I found my good friend hanging, it was so peaceful. Yes, because he's not there. And you are not there either, but you think you are, and that's the problem. And you are full of problems. And pain and suffering and desires. So, if that becomes overwhelming, maybe suicide. But it won't solve it, because you will come back. And anyway, how can you find a more beautiful life than this? Reflect on it, please, before you jump. I will promise you, it will take so many lifetimes before you have this chance again. It's never been so much suicides as now, because people have never been so confused. And the world is so empty on that level. So that's why. And the children, look, you have a whole generation who has just been growing up on killing people on the video games. So how is that whole mentality, how is that soul? It's just polluted. there's no meaning. In many places, in Korea, in Japan, they can hardly communicate anymore because they have only been on the screens, and in the West too. They don't know how to be friends. I have 10,000 friends on my app, but I don't have a single friend. It's like that. So you have lost all humanness, no? So this is going to be more and more. In the East, it's not so much. Like in India, it's not so much because people are simple. Of course, it happens more and more there also because the planet is getting more and more one, small, no? But before it wasn't like that. It's just because we're living very false. There is no way out. And if you then are sensitive, then maybe more chance. And then you have, of course, that I'm not famous, I'm not rich enough, I don't get the right husband or wife and all that. That is ego things. No, it's so many things. No, it depends. That's why I said all suicide is so many different levels, because people are functioning on million different levels of maturity. It's been 21 years of unbearable pain, and I'm running out of steam. Are you?
Not today.
Huh? You see? You came to the right place then. You got some healing there. Huh? And what is the pain? What is the pain from?
Damage. Physical damage.
From what?
Skydiving.
Skydiving, then you could just be in like a hamburger meter. At least there's something left. Be happy. Huh? But, of course, the physical body can have pain. So that's another thing also. And in a more enlightened society, I don't see anything wrong that we had places, homes, hospitals, where meditative people could help people to die, conscious die, like they have maybe in Switzerland, in Holland, I don't know, but some places they have. And if you then have meditators or people who are into that, loving people, not just machines, then it could be beautiful, because sometimes you are trying to keep, even with sick people, they're trying to keep them living and there's nothing left. Even they have machines to breathe them. Or if you are in so much pain that you know this body had it, let's change. Let's get a new edition. So, that is a total different suicide. Yeah, I wouldn't call that suicide, but that is very, very, very seldom. But that is possible, that you are consciously doing it. And then it is an opportunity, because you know I'm dying. I'm going to die, take this tablet or whatever, to get injection at 5 o'clock. Then you can prepare, I'm consciously dying. So in that way, in a more enlightened society, it can be very helpful. And people move on. Because the more conscious you are, the higher you go. But again, this is unbearable pain is in the physical. And what to do? Deal with it. But you are not the body. So as long as you identify with the body, there will be life and death. the whole thing with meditation or the message of the master is to identify, come back to that which is always there. That is beyond life and death. So that doesn't help the pain in a way, the physical pain. But everything changes because it is like it is. It's like you have an old car, always some problem and it stops. You have to deal with it. It's a drag, but you have to deal with it, no? Till one day, this just doesn't work, even though I love it. Go to the scrapyard. But these things, you know, in society and in the world, you don't talk about this. You don't talk about that. You don't talk about the traumas people have from the war. You don't talk about the depression. You give them medication. Nobody knows. Nobody has gone depth. No? Nobody has gone deep. If life is an experience, perhaps I experience more than many, and thanks to you for the glimpses I have had here. Yeah. But if the ego world is not worth living, and I can't proceed as I'm stuck in pain, what's wrong with the quiet exit? Nothing wrong. I don't see anything wrong with anything. But why, if you have realized that life in the ego world is not worth living, then don't live there. I mean, that is just my suggestion. And that's what I'm trying to teach you here. You are suffering because you are living in the ego world. I have another invitation in to a non-ego world. So that is understanding. You know, you leave the ego world. Then you live happy. Because ego is really, it's not real, it's just an idea, it's the wrong information that got stuck there. Then here, sometimes you remember, I'm not that, no? Then you laugh, oh, and there you go, so good again, oh my God, I don't want to do and this is no, it's a wow, yeah? And then again, it comes, no? So that you have to. And I can't proceed as I'm stuck in pain. Yeah. Then do the best of the pain. What to do? I think most people, some more than others, have pain, no? Because the physical body is bound to get some pain. I remember Yamuna asked me, what to do about pain, so she had some pain once. It's a long time ago, of course. And then, of course, you get frustrated, no? Because like, you want to do something, you want to run up the mountain, and then, oh, my knee and my back, or I want to dance, but my knee doesn't work anymore. Where is Chitta? And then you push yourself. No, I have to dance. I have to run. I have to do this. And then I told her, if you cannot run, then walk. If you cannot walk, then sit. If you cannot sit, Lay down. Why do we always struggle? Because you want it my way, no? Meditation, being here, is an education in wisdom. If you realize that now, then you won't have that problem. Sooner or later, the body will be, you won't move. It will get older. One day it will die. So prepare. Accept things as it is. So again, don't push yourself. You've been a great dancer. Okay, then comes a day. No. But then, no, you want to because you are a great dancer. You've been always dancing. You love dancing. And then just pain because you want. Who is this that always wants something instead of go with the flow? Relax. Slow down. Make it comfortable for yourself. Don't compare. Don't compare with others. You will always have some, they dance, dance. And they don't know. Soon they also will. Yeah? The young people, you know, like, I will live forever, you know, like, whoa. But find that acceptance, no? That's the thing. You have to follow. The body is very beautiful, no? The body is very innocent. So if it's in pain, be compassionate with yourself. Be sensitive. Be vulnerable. Very, very difficult for the ego because you have ideas. I want to be strong. I want to be fit. I want to be dancer, ballerina. And then the only problem is, my legs doesn't work. Then, conflict, stress, trauma. Yeah? The message of the masters. Accept things as they are. What happens then? It's a master key. If you just accept. If I'm tired, I lay down. If I feel like walking, I go for a walk. If I'm hungry, I eat. That's what the Zen master, that's what the masters are saying. Take care of the body, yeah? But do it lovingly. Don't push it, no? Things are changing. And this must have been with you also. You wanted to push, you know, go for it like that. No. The Sufi says, like all the master says, die before you die. Die before you die. I'm already dead. Total acceptance. Total peace. And still, I'm living. What happened? And all living beings and animals, everything living wants to live, no? Why? Because it's a gift, it's an instinct. You want to survive. An animal is not afraid of that because it lives in the moment, but it will run away from danger. Yeah? Only human beings have this fear because the mind goes into the future. Then, so learn to be in the moment. Life is in the moment, that is in the moment. So learn to be in the moment, you go beyond that. Then you live beautiful, and you live beautiful, you will die beautiful. No doubt about that. And let's enjoy a bit more. You ready? All right. If only all the people who want to do suicide could be that intelligent, you know, just to change a little, makes a big difference if I go that way, if I go that way, you know. Nisargadatta says, the more you know yourself, the less you are afraid of anything, including dying. Of course, the agony of dying is never pleasant to look at, but the dying man is rarely conscious. And that is the difference. If you are conscious, everything changes, no? But if you never, your whole life, you have never practiced consciousness, you have never been alert, then how can you be alert when you die? That's why most people die unconscious. Suffering caused by different factors, some painful, some disease, or unbearable calamity, may provide some justification. But where wisdom and compassion are lacking, suicide cannot help. A foolish death means a foolish rebirth. That's how it is. A wise death means a wise rebirth. And an enlightened death means hallelujah. No, the sun came also. We were driving under a rainbow coming down. Just before, it was like, wow, the sun is coming. Maybe a rainbow was coming now, I said. Very good omen. The Tibetans, they're like, whoa, rainbow. That is the best omen. It's like, whoa. I'm driving and it's the portal, a rainbow. Whoa. Who wants to go anywhere else? My suggestion to you, Rajan, just allow yourself to be more vulnerable, more soft. Accepting things. Don't compare with anything. And nothing should be different than what is. Have fun. No, enjoy now. Nothing is holding you back. That's the good thing also. Osho, my master, always said, many people are like this. They're so frustrated. They want to escape something. So it's suicide, no? But he said, why not sannyas? Suicide or sannyas. Either you can just poop out or you go for it. And if you're ready to do suicide, then you should be ready to really live. Give it another chance. Heaven is when the English are policemen. The Germans are the engineers. The Italians are the lovers. The Swiss are the organizers, and the French are the cooks. Hell is where the Germans are the policemen. The Englishmen are the cooks. The French are the engineers. the Italians are the organizers. And the Swiss are the lovers. You never know where you're going to end up. Yogendra is desperate, he's out of work. So he goes to the richest area of Oslo. He goes from mansion to mansion, see if they have any paint jobs or anything like that. Finally, at the huge estate, Yogendra knocks on the door. "Hey, you have any work that needs doing?" he asks. "What can you do?" asked the owner. "Well, I'm really a great painter," said Yogendra. "Great, great," said the man, handing him a can of green paint. "You can go around to the back and paint that porch green. It's a pretty nice job for you, and probably it will take you most of the day." Just a few hours later, Yogendra knocks again on the front door. "Hey, I finished that porch already," he tells the owner. "Wow," says the man, "that was really, really quick. And no problem for me, I told you I'm a good painter." "Wow," says the man, "well, here's your money." "Thanks," says Yogendra, and turns when he leaves. "By the way," he says, "that is not the Porsche, it was a Ferrari." Why go anywhere when we have such a good time? Good paint job on the Porsche. Dearest beloved Swaha, my name is Ekaterina. I'm originally from Russia and I live in Switzerland. My friend Pavani from St. Petersburg, who was blessed by you several years ago, told me I should come here to Dharma Mountain for the highest possible experience in my development. And so I came immediately. During the last 8 years, I have been doing a lot to get to know myself. This part slowly became my main activity. And last year, I left my job to dedicate myself to this life. The more total you are in anything, the better results, no? And that's what it comes down to. totality, no? If you really want something, then be total. Then it happens quick, whatever it is. Last year I left my job to dedicate myself to what feels true. Very often I am at various trainings and retreats, and sometimes I was giving talks and offering courses myself on mindfulness, human connection, happiness, conscious dance, etc., etc. But indeed, here in your presence, in this retreat, I feel I'm immersing in something much deeper and simpler. I realized that a lot of my prior work on myself was needed, but was still missing some of this depth. Yes, everything you did was needed to come here. That was the preparation. But to be yourself doesn't need any preparation. It's just the allowing. You just need the right climate for it. That you realize, wow, I can just be. There's nothing to do. You did so much, like people have to do. We have to do a lot. Without that doing, without that effort, nothing is possible. But that doing, that activity, as you say, won't deliver the goods. Only when you stop. And that's what you are saying. Here, in your presence, I'm immersing in something much deeper and simpler. Yes. It's very simple. It's just that we've been running so much that we have missed that which is always there. There's nothing to do. It's just to be. It's this doing, this activity that is taking you away. It's the seeking that takes you away. So the seeking is needed, but it will never deliver the goods. Because who is the seeker? He's seeking something in the future, and reality is now. But nobody can stop you. That's what the master comes into the picture. He is here. So, falling in tune, you get a glimpse of that. Simplicity. That is totally right. Much deeper and simpler. That which is always there. Here I found a space for getting deeper into myself, my heart, silence, releasing remaining pains and traumas and forgiving myself, allowing love here and now. Love is the healer. It's love that heals, nothing else. And then you have to forgive. You have to forgive yourself, you have to forgive everybody. But that comes as a shadow of your own understanding. You cannot do it, it happens. Out of your own understanding. Love has always been here and now. That is the whole work of the master. To bring you here and now so you can see that love is here. It's always been. In fact, just because you haven't been here, you are always seeking or going somewhere, you haven't seen what is already there. That's why I said the whole problem, or not problem, but work, or mission, or invitation from the master is stop. Very difficult for the mind. And in that stopping and allowing yourself to be present, things are happening. Because you are not running. You start connecting to a different dimension of yourself, which nobody is teaching. Very simple, and very deep, and very delicious, and very quiet, and very good. It is the first time I'm in the physical presence of a master. They are hard to come by. Even our old friend Dogen said that, very difficult to come by. It's always been like that. Each day I'm opening more and more to the power of it. Yeah. That's what is happening around the master. I know this. I had this disease myself. You know, all these people have it also. It's so good. Something is happening deeper and deeper, more and more simple. So that's why they are just sitting here. Just smiling. I don't know why. Just very happy. Just what happened? I don't know. Ask them. I had that also. It was so good. I couldn't leave my master. Huh? He called it. He had a good name for it. He called it the Buddha disease. It's not COVID. The Buddha, the master has the Buddha disease. Then you come closer, then you start going deeper. Then you say, Then you start catching the Buddha disease. That changed your life. Totally changed your life. Be careful. But who cares? Each day I'm opening more and more to the power of it. I feel so grateful and also touched and joyful here, in silence and in the presence of you and all the friends. It feels like a new start, a new beginning. With love and thanks from my heart, Ekaterina. Yes. It is a new beginning. It is a new start. It is a new dawn. No. You have sannyas written all over you now. So, you're staying to the end? Good. Then you will go home to Switzerland or wherever you go and you digest it and then you see, okay? Then you see, follow your heart, that's the main thing. That's the heart knows what it wants now. The mind can have so many ideas, so many directions, so many desires. But the heart, the problem is to get in contact with the heart. And then, first get in contact and then follow it. Then the heart will know. Get out of your mind and into the heart. Then half the journey is done. Then the heart itself will show you the direction. Rumi says all doubts, all despair, and all fear becomes insignificant once the intention of life becomes love. No, you had so many intentions before, so many desires, so many ideas, so much seeking. No, love. So simple. Consciousness, truth, freedom. Change everything. Why change everything? Because that's why you are here. No, you don't follow the ways of the ego. You start following the ways of your heart, of your soul. The more you do that, the more existence, or God, or call it what you want, will support you. No doubt about that. Rumi says, die in this love. If you die in this love, your soul will be renewed. Die. Don't fear the death of that which is known. If you die to the temporal, you will become timeless, eternal. Die. Cut off those chains that hold you a prisoner to the world of attachments and dreams. Die to the deathless, and you will become eternal. In this silence, in this love, in the silence of love, you will find the spark of life, a new life.
I used to like to read poems of Rumi, but I did not have a clue what he meant when he said, beloved friend, until I met you. Now I know why the Sufis were, it's awfully hard to rest with all this love and fire inside. Understood that Last Supper, I did not know what to think when Jesus said, my body is this bread and my blood this drink. Had he merged with all of creation or found some fountain of you? Now I see what I thought was alchemy is just the literal truth. And you don't need to be a Christian mystic or be born under a lucky star. You only need to be still and ask who you are. Be still and know who. To read loud too. Just look around, this is the sound. Do you hear it too? Zen Buddhist, to pierce the heart of this mystery. You only need to be willing to stop and see. See what is still and free. Or study scripture or travel far. You only need to be still and ask who you are.